let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking you for the mercy and the compassion and the steadfast and abounding love that you've shown us this week. We ask that you would settle our hearts and our minds now in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that as we engage in worship, we would be continually being reformed and remade and understanding that we are part of a much bigger community that extends from earth all the way to heaven. That we worship you with the angels and with the saints who have gone before us. So we worship you and thank you and praise your name, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin with our confession and absolution. It's on page. What page is it? That sounds like I got spurs on. Page D. And again, I've just been in the last year and going into this year recognizing that as you're going to pray and talk to God, even privately, just working through a confession and letting this be your guide, and the first thing you can hear from God. So every day, I do this every day because the first thing I can hear from God, it calibrates my mind, like I want to hear from God. And so the easiest way to hear from him is to confess and hear him say, I've given you my son to die for you. You are forgiven. You know, that's how you know. You can set your ears to know, oh yeah, that's God. Oh, that's good news. So let's engage that as we begin praying together. Most merciful God, we confess. Amen. You may be seated. And we are in the season of Christmas. It's the last week in Christmas, and the beginning of a new season of Epiphany, where it just means God with us, God among us. So we have Christmas where God comes as a baby, and there's an angel of armies singing praise God. And then you have last week, where you see the child, Jesus, growing and maturing in wisdom and stature. And then this week is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, where he's baptized, set apart, and commissioned, and begins bringing the kingdom of God right in that moment and all the way up through this moment. So let's read the quintessential passages of Jesus' baptism. We'll begin with Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. And Jana will read that for us, but give everyone a chance. It's on page 349 if you're following along. And this will be the passage where I'll come back and speak from. So if you keep your finger there. But it's again, it's Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Jana, it's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. From the Old Testament. Now we'll move to the New Testament, and we'll be hearing from Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. This records the baptism of Jesus and will be read by Jana's lovely husband, Byron. It's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. And then we'll read from the Epistle of Romans, written by Paul, Romans chapter 6, 1 through 11, and all these work together. All these scriptures, references, and we'll have my one and only son, Lowry, read Romans chapter 6, 1 through 11, found on page 549. It's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Quick prayer. Lord, bless us as we consider your word. We've heard from the old, from the new, from the gospels. We ask, Holy Spirit, you pastor us. You bring things to mind, you forgive, you heal, you redeem, you reset us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul says, you are alive to God sin no more reigns in your body. And he equates this to the baptism of Jesus Christ and to your baptism into Jesus Christ. So today, I want to start with this idea. What do you need to break out of in 2020? What needs to be broken off of you? What dungeon, what part of your life is in a dungeon or in darkness or hopeless with no hope of justice? What part of your life? I know it's not your whole life, but there are parts of us that are wrapped up with fear, which paralyzes us and keeps us from walking into something we want to. There's some sin that mocks us, or there's hope that we've lost. Like, what is it today? And the message to you is, let's break it. That Jesus Christ has broken the chains. He's broken off whatever's holding you back has been changed. And it all started at the baptism of Jesus. The baptism of Jesus is the game changer. It changes the whole game for your life. Because you now are alive to God. You're dead to sin. You were buried with Christ. And if you go back, you can go back and look at the Romans passage. But Paul says, you died with Christ in his baptism, and now you're made alive with him. Which means the rules of this world no longer apply to you. Which means you can break out. I want to break off this year. I'm feeling this year. This year, let's break through the constant sickness or the constant fear. Let's choose one thing. Like right now, today, during this service, ask the Holy Spirit, what is the one thing in 2020 that I want to be alive to God? And then let's tenaciously begin on our baptism, claim it, say, this is fact, this is something objective that God has done to me, he's given me new birth, and let's walk alive to God and see what happens and see how he changes and how, because he sets us free. He turns on the lights. He breaks off the chains of fear and sadness and whatever are keeping you, whatever are plaguing you. That's what the Word of God is constantly saying. So it's either true or it's not true. And as we live, we just start to go, well, it's not happening, so it must not. It's like it's true, but not true for me. And that's the lie maybe we need to break off. That's the baptism. Let's remember our baptism and be washed again with the reality of this situation. That's okay. She's feeling it. The reality of the situation is this. Look at, it's the beginning of the year. And, you know, we talk about New Year's resolutions. And I want you to start thinking about baptism like this. God made a new life resolution way back in the Old Testament. And then at Jesus' baptism, it was he was resolving to save, to cleanse, to bring back, to live not under the reality of death and separation and fear and powerlessness, but in the light of his Son who gives you life. This is true. I've seen it, and I want to see more of it in myself and in you. And here's how we know it's true. He says it over, and he's revealing it to us over and over again, that he's given us his Son, Jesus Christ, to set us free. Look at Isaiah chapter 42. This is an interesting passage. Again, I'm trying to show you Jesus in the Old Testament so that it's not always, the Old Testament isn't always just a proof text, but the story of God's heart is there, and it always has been. And in this passage, it's like these prophetic binoculars to Jesus' baptism. He says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights, I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Just that verse. You start to see the Holy Spirit. You see the Son. You see God. You see the Trinity, even in Isaiah here. And as God writes to Israel, previously they were the servant of God. So my son asked me, how is it that Jewish people don't why don't they believe in Jesus? Like, you see Jesus in the Old Testament, but what do they see? And the answer is, right before this chapter, chapter 41, the term servant was for God's people. And God's people had continually failed. God's people had always acted out of fear and always created idols and always resulted in violence against God and against one another. That's what God's people had always done. They were the failed servant of God. They did not serve what God was cooking. They ruined it. They destroyed it every time. That's what Isaiah is saying. Then we get to this passage, and God says, I'm going to boil all of Israel down into one, to my servant. And my servant, you'll see, is going to be, Jesus is going to be boiled down to one, and he's going to be our representative. Now, we are in voting season, right? We have an election this year. So here's where you can start to understand the importance of Jesus becoming the one representative for God's people. Because in our current culture, the only hope, at least famous people have, when they win an award and they have a platform and they tell you everything that's wrong, they can identify how everything is being destroyed. And what's their solution every time? You guys, we got to vote. And by that, they mean vote for the person they think will change global warming. Well, there's a person who can save the earth. There's a person who can pay for all your medical bills. There's a person who can give you education. There's a person who can give you affordable housing. There's a person who will make your life happy, wipe away your debts. Does anyone believe that? Does anyone believe that? I just want to know if they really believe it, because I want to say, your faith is greater than any Jesus has ever seen. If that's all they have, vote. Whoa, that devastates me. Vote for a representative who promises to save you? Yet no one can understand what Jesus is doing at his baptism. No one can understand the story of Jesus, which is the representation of all mankind chosen by God, saying, I save, I give health, I give wealth, and I give it freely. And by the way, I control global warming. I can burn this place up tomorrow, or I can rescue it, or I can flood it. I can do it. I made it. Yet no one ever says, maybe we should pray to our gods. Because we want a man representative, and all man can do is result in violence and oppression and failure, and someone will win and someone will lose. That's the best a representative can do, because we all want justice, but we very rarely see it. So it's shocking to me that we think anybody can deliver it. Yet we have this hope and we have this faith because God's put it in us. We desperately want someone to save us. And here is the servant, and check him out. Here's the legit servant representative of you, and listen to who he is. First of all, God delights in him. God loves him. He puts his spirit on him, and he says, I will bring forth justice. You want justice? All we can talk about is inequality. Right! Because we don't have a good servant leader. We don't have anybody to lead us. Jesus brings actual justice. Look how he does it. Verse 2, he will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. He doesn't say, vote for me, I'm going to do it. He comes quietly, humbly on a little donkey, born in a manger. He's not going, woo, vote for me. He's saying, I'm humble and I'm here to serve you. I'll wash your feet. A bruised reed he will not break. A faintly burning wick he will not quench. This is a bruised reed for pens. They would use reeds. If they're broken, they're useless. Throw them out. The wick for light. Anyway, the idea is he's not going to throw out the broken, fearful, in debt, sad, overwhelmed, helpless people. He's not, Jesus, the servant never says, you're of no use to me in my campaign. He stops and he loves. And he revives those of us who have been broken and not useful to anybody else. This is who our servant is. He will not grow faint or be discouraged. So even on the cross, as his friends run away, as he's being mocked by the people he came to save and he's dying, he is not discouraged. He doesn't grow faint. He keeps going until he has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law. So we have a leader that though we fail, he reduces us to him. He does not fail. He serves quietly and humbly and all the way to the end. And he has the power and the love to do it. This is who our servant is. And the game changer here is, because of this servant, we live forever. So when Jesus is baptized, we read in Matthew, the first idea of Jesus going into the water, did you hear where John says, "What are you doing? I don't want to baptize you." It's because John had a baptism of repentance. So to go to John's baptism, you had sin and you need to be cleansed. Jesus had no sin. So why is Jesus going to be baptized? What would be the point of that? It's a good question. The answer is because Jesus is reducing all of God's people to one, and he is the only human who will walk into the curse of death without deserving it. So he takes the place of all sinners in his baptism by him saying, "John, you must do this to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus says, "I will be baptized. I will walk into death. I will be drowned for my people." And so at Jesus' baptism, we recognize Jesus dies for us, and then he's going to raise from that, which means we're going to live forever. His resurrection from the drowning is now ours. This is the first game changer, that we have a servant who gives his life for us. He doesn't just want our vote. He doesn't just want us to give him power for that, but he dies for you. So this should start to affect the way we look at life. We don't have to be scared of dying. So break it off. Call out on the God who gives his son with whom he has delight and he's given for you. But then, there's more. The complete justice has been paid for us because justice would condemn us, true justice. No one's perfect. But Jesus lifts that for us. But then, he's the servant of God. He brings the services of God, which are, in verse 5, "Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it." This is our God. He possesses heaven and earth. That's a big deal because we need the earth. We take care of the earth. We love the earth. But all the fear about how it's going to die, our God created it. He knows the end of it. We always look to him. He's all-powerful, and the God who gives breath and gives spirit to all people. "I am the Lord. I have called him to righteousness." He says, here's what Jesus' baptism is going to do for you and set you free. "I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness." So what Jesus does at his baptism, what happens after he comes out of the water? Well, he comes out of the water, and just like at his birth, where there's an army of angels saying, "Glory be God in the highest, this is amazing." At his baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit show up, and they're like, "This is amazing." And the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove, which, as we were reading in Noah's Ark, remember, when they wanted to know if there was land, they sent out a dove, and if it didn't return, they knew there was land. I love when Jesus is baptized, here's that dove again, saying, "Oh, here's the land where we're all safe. It's safe to come out of the ark. Our representative is here." The Holy Spirit lands on him. The holy breath and life of God is put on Jesus. And this Holy Spirit does some things. This Holy Spirit will, first of all, open the eyes that are blind. So the Holy Spirit, as we are baptized into Jesus, we're baptized into Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This baptism of Jesus changes the baptism of John. John's was for repentance. We aren't baptized into John's. We're baptized into Jesus, what happens to his. And so this Holy Spirit that lands on Jesus, as we're baptized into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we receive his mark, we get the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit we get. And the Holy Spirit will open the eyes of the blind. Where are we blind? He's already opened our eyes, everyone in this room, I know. He's already opened your eyes to, I trust Jesus. Jesus is God. Praise God for that. That is a healing. You should thank God for every day you believe and you have faith because God has opened your eyes. But there's still areas that maybe your eyes are closed to. The Holy Spirit will open your eyes, give you clarity. And then with that clarity, he says, bring out the prisoners. Because a lot of times when you open your eyes, you realize, I'm chained up by a lot of things. I'm in a dungeon. This, I forgot. Why did I close my eyes again? Oh, because I didn't want to know that I was trapped here. But the good news is the Holy Spirit and his services open up your eyes, give you light, and then break the chains, break off the shackles, and say, come with me out of this prison into life to be alive to God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He applies the resurrection power. The Holy Spirit is who brought Jesus back to life out of a tomb. That Holy Spirit is in you as you are baptized into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That Jesus gives us his body that will live again, but then he gives us the power of God in the Holy Spirit so that you can see, that you can call upon him. Do you believe me? I hope it's true. Jesus gives this to you as baptism. You know why? Because he loves you. Look at that first part in verse 6. I've called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. That there's this intimacy when you hold a baby's hand, you hold a child's hand, hold the hand of an elderly person, that we are brought into the love of God, that God loves his Son, loves the Spirit. In Isaiah, it's, I will take you by the hand, my servant. That there's this intimacy and love. But as we are baptized into Jesus, he takes you by the hand. He's not going to forget about you. He's going to provide. It's scary, but he's going to hold your hand. He loves you. And that's why at the end of Jesus' baptism, the dove descends. And then what happens? The love is spoken, where God the Father says, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. So that as we are baptized into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we get the life of Jesus, we get the power of the Holy Spirit, and we get the affirmation and included into the love of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this intense love. You are included. You're not excluded from it. It's yours, where God says to you, you are my child with whom I'm well pleased. You don't have to go out and find your meaning and purpose. You don't have to try and make the pain that you've experienced have some value by helping someone else. No, you already have value because you've been baptized into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God gives that to you at the very beginning. He doesn't wait for you to earn it. He says, I love you. You're my son. So at our baptism, at the baptism of Jesus, that's the moment where Jesus operates out of this great power and love. It reminds me, and you can relate to this, we were at the beach. I was on the shore. My sister-in-law, Pat, was out with Luke. Luke was kind of playing around. He was only 7 or 8. They got separated. I hear Pat screaming, help, help, help. I looked, and it didn't look too bad. But then I saw Luke was kind of too deep and getting pulled out. And I had this moment of kind of fear. And is this really happening? So what did I do? You know what I did. What's that? Right. The story's not going to end. I don't know what happened, and I haven't seen him since, but that was weird. Right. I ran in. I grabbed him without thinking. I grabbed him, not knowing how bad it was. Pat, to this day, will thank me for that. Jesus, on the banks of the Jordan, sees people who are under the judgment of God, who want to be right, want to be included in love, want to see, want to be freed from all this, and have no hope. And just like any of us who would save one at a time, Jesus jumps into that water. He says, I will give my life. Of course. I'll give my life. And in doing that, I'll give my spirit. And I'll give you the love of the Father. Why? Because I want Luke to be alive. I want you to be alive and to live unto God. So when God sees us living as though we're dead, under fear and shackles, he's like, remember your baptism? You didn't die. You're alive. I want you to live. I want you to love and love others and be empowered and walk in the light, which brings us back. What's shackling you? In 2020, let's remember our baptism. And call upon God every day. Call upon him. God, you saved me for a reason. And he's like, yeah, the reason is I just love you. Well, now I need help. He's not going to withhold help. He's like, oh, I'm always here to help. What do you need? Well, I want vision for what to do at work. I want patience. I need help. I need you to provide for me because I'm always scared about money. I need courage to make some decisions that are a big risk. And you know how we do that? We remember our baptism, and then we just ask him. Remember, he says, ask. I'm your father. You've been brought into my family. You're alive, so just ask. And so this year, man, I want to just ask. I want to pray. I want to fast. I want to do whatever the Lord brings to our minds to experience healing, to experience fertility, to experience safety, let's do it. Because that's what the baptism of Jesus began, and it's not just looking back. Our baptism is the point of contact between the God of the universe and us, and where his word says, I forgive you, and I love you, and you are alive to God. So let's be alive to God. And we don't judge the outcome on if there's God or not. For us, we don't say, well, I prayed and I didn't get healed. We just keep praying. That's what we get to do as kids. You keep praying. You keep engaging because you're alive. You have nothing to lose. So how I want to do this year is maybe sharing some prayer requests and having everyone pray together. I can't help but think, you know, Matt preached about wanting to have a baby. And then a week later, they have a baby. I'm not super smart about all that, but that could be a formula for this year. What's that? Yeah, everyone has to preach. I'm not mature enough to let that happen. No, but I'm thinking this year, during the prayer time, like if as we go and if today there's something you want us all to pray for, that it's not just me and Matt, but it's all of us. You all have been baptized. You all have this power. We all have different roles in the kingdom of God. That there's no role greater or lesser. It's all beautiful and wonderful. But when we pray together and we say, you know what, we refuse to give up hope and just think, oh well, even if we pray for years. In the Old Testament we're reading, and it's like Isaac. Just start reading about Isaac. And in one verse it says, yeah, he couldn't have a baby. And then they had a baby. And then later it says, yeah, Isaac had been married for 20 years. Isaac, the promised baby to Abraham, just waits 20 years to have a baby. You think that was easy? But then through him is coming the people of God and Jesus and all this stuff. So we don't know. We're just the people who pray and ask and are alive to God. And when he sets us free and when he does it, we're like not surprised because we've been asking and we know he's the God who does that. And we know he has perfect time. But be praying this year and be thinking. And I want to use our time at church to pray for one another. So I think that just as baptism brought in a whole new kingdom that's under the reign and rule of Jesus. Our baptism into Jesus has started something totally new. So let's live. Let me pray, and then we'll have a chance to pray for someone today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant. Thank you for changing the whole nature of our game. As we engage our lives and our communities, we want to do the best we can, but we put all of our hope in you. And we remember that you have cleansed us. You have given us your spirit. You've given us your life. You've given us and included us in your love. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. We worship you and praise you. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wisdom and wealth and might and honor and glory and blessing. We worship you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you are baptized, you know, at least for us, I've done it two ways. When you're baptized, and we baptize you now, we go through the Apostles' Creed because it's a confession of what you believe. What's funny is before I knew about the Apostles' Creed, do you know what we did? You're baptized and you gave your testimony, which is a confession of what you believe. You know, you're like, I believe in Jesus, and you know, Kevin told me about it, and I thought this is great, and I started crying, I felt the warmth, and I love Jesus. And so the historic church basically says that through the Apostles' Creed, and it's where you remember your baptism. And I was even reading where Luther was saying to his people, one of the ways you remember your baptism is you do this thing, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he says back in 1530 or whatever, he goes to his people, it's not Roman Catholic, you guys, because they're all going, is this just Roman Catholic? He's like, no. This is remembering that you are marked by your baptism. That God did, it wasn't just you doing something for God. That's great. But it's God did something to you and he marked you. And so every time you go like this, you're just remembering, I'm a child of God in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's just something physical that you can do. You don't have to do it. But I'm just telling you like the history behind it. Because forever I thought it was just a Catholic thing. And I was raised, you can't be Roman Catholic. It's like a very big fear for some reason. I know, it's heartbreaking. But they were growing up going, you can't be reformed because, you know, everybody has their weaknesses. But I'm telling you, we have mine too. I'm not finishing all the sentences. It's just funny to me now. Because God's going to do his work regardless of how we try to categorize. God's still faithful. So you're a Catholic, you're a Baptist, you're a Lutheran. That's what's so wonderful. Jesus Christ surpasses all that. But it is nice to be right. So in the Apostles' Creed, just know you're confessing God the Father, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, Holy Spirit. And so that is a baptismal vow. That is a vow and a confession that you make. And again, I'll encourage you in 2020, I say it every day to set me in the right headspace, that God is God and confess it to the spirit world, and you start to break off those cobwebs of, I'm in control and I got to do everything. I'm telling you, this is a great gift to the church if you can engage it. So, just putting that out there for you. And now let's say it together. Page whatever, B. But we confess together what we believe, and we've been baptized into this. So, what do you believe, Christian? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And then in the baptismal vows, you would say, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? And the person will say yes. And I just want to throw this out there. If you're ever dealing with spiritual and demonic things, many times you'll ask a person, have you been baptized? And do you remember your baptismal vows? Yes. And they can say, I renounce the devil. You have the power. You're alive to God. So you have the authority to renounce the devil and all his works and announce forgiveness. It's pretty powerful. So as we get there, I'll remind you this year. Give thanks to God by giving back to him and to his work. So ask the Lord what you would want to give in supporting his ministry on earth as it is in heaven. And then, if there is someone today that would be willing to share their requests, I'd love to have then the whole church focused on one request, or if you all want, I don't want to limit it, but start with one who would be bold enough to give a request that we all focus on and pray for without, don't worry, there'll be more Sundays this year. So Troy. Amen to that. Just kidding, I've never met her. Well, here, let's, Phyllis. Phyllis what? Phyllis Randall. Here, come up. And if here's how we'll do this. I'm making it up right now, but let's do it. I'm not making it up because the Lord often laid hands on people and breathed on them and did all sorts of stuff. But let's pray for today. We all focus and pray for Phyllis Randall, her salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Troy and Tiffany and Millie, and we thank you for little Hattie that's inside of them. We thank you that you have made them a light in the darkness. And Lord Jesus, we ask, you are the servant. You are the one who faithfully can minister the work of God in all places, even in a dungeon, even in complete darkness. You break forth, and we ask, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you would save Phyllis Randall, that you would open up her heart to receive the gospel, and that it would be welcome, full of rejoicing, and that we could rejoice in your goodness and in your faithfulness, that you're saving Phyllis just like you've saved all of us in your grace and your mercy. You're slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We bless you, Lord, and thank you for hearing our requests. We thank you for caring for everybody. Lord Jesus, we pray, save Phyllis. Pour out your spirit upon her. And if she's never been baptized, give us the joy and the hilarious laughter to be able to baptize her right here in this space. Wouldn't that be fun? We're your kids, so we're going to ask for that, Lord. Bless Troy and Tiffany as they carry this light and this word to her. And bless us in being faithful to remember it. Thank you, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Wow, let's see what happens. Thanks for sharing that, man. Also, I was thinking, this year, pray for New City Church. The goal that I've always kind of had in my mind, but I just realized, why am I not telling everybody? Is praying for five new families. And so in 2020, every time the Lord brings, if we're all praying for it, someone kind of comes in, we'll all kind of get it. Giddy and excited. And just think about how excited it would be to know that we prayed for these people to come in. We didn't just wait for it to happen, that we were active in praying. So commit to that. Now let's, thank you for that. If you have more prayer requests as we go during the Lord's Supper, put those up there. And many of you have put similar ones up there. As we go through the year, we're going to be praying for you up here. So ask the Lord to give you that courage and confidence, because we'll never be ashamed for asking. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So then the baptism is where you're born, and where God gives you all this stuff. And he says, now, gather in the place of worship. Gather around my word, and gather around these things that I've given to you, word and sacrament, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so this is the place where we're nourished and nurtured. And that's my prayer every Sunday, that you'd be nurtured here, and that it's not uncommon for healings to happen at the Lord's Supper. Just open up your mind to that, that this is where Jesus is saying, I want to reveal myself to you. This, he says, the night that he's betrayed, he says, this is my body given for you. So this is my blood poured out for you. Forgiveness of sins, a new covenant. Jesus didn't say, this is like my body. This is like, he says, this is my body. Jesus doesn't lie. Do we fully understand it? No. Do you have to? No. All of our kids don't have to fully understand us to be our kids who we love and take care of. But he says, by faith you come to this and you know that you have encountered God. And when you encounter God, light breaks forth. Chains are broken. Who knows? Best place you can possibly be. So we set this apart in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for this meal that you gave, that you paid for with your life, that you paid for with your resurrection, and that your Holy Spirit has descended upon us and is here now and has caused us to say, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is Lord. He has died and risen. You have caused us to say this, Holy Spirit. And as we say it, all of heaven rejoices and says, Amen. So I pray now as we come to your Lord's Supper, to the supper you set up, that you would nourish our faith, that we are part of your body on earth as it is in heaven, but also that we are connected to one another as brothers and sisters. So Lord, heal us at this table. Forgive us and set us free to love you and love one another. We ask in Jesus' name. So receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord look upon you and be gracious with you. May he turn his face towards you and give you his favor and grant you peace now and forever.